Get your Bibles and look in Psalm 32, and we referred to these verses this morning in our lesson, but did not have time to go over and read them and to look at them, and appreciate David reading those. And this is going to be the basis and the jumping off point of our lesson tonight, as we think about the fact that as we approach our lectureship, there are so many great benefits that are going to be a part of it. But how great will it be if we spend some time together tonight talking about our families, and even tonight praying that the Lord would bless our families? In Psalm 32, it is unknown exactly the time frame in which David wrote this psalm. There are some who speculate that perhaps David wrote this psalm somewhere around the time after Nathan said to him, "You are the man." You look at the title that translators have given to this particular psalm, and maybe your Bible calls it the Psalm of the Joy of Forgiveness. Even though David had committed these sins that were so vile in the sight of God, he was able to recognize that God, when David had that penitent heart, that God had forgiven him. And I want you to think about verses 6, 7, and 8 in regard to our families tonight. David has already read them to us, but I want you to look at them again. Where God says, "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you to God." How often do you pray? For some, we might ask, how many times during the week do you pray? Because it may not be very many times. For some, we could ask you, how many times in a day do you pray? Those who are godly shall pray to God. And I want you to look at what God does in verse 7. When we pray to God, three things happen. God becomes our refuge. He becomes our hiding place. Do you remember Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus said to go when you pray? Go into your closet. Go into your hiding place. When we pray, God becomes our hiding place. He becomes our refuge to which we can run. When we pray, verse 7 says that God preserves us from trouble. God puts a wall of protection around us. When we pray, God deliver us from the evil one. God preserves us from trouble. When we pray, God deliver us from temptation. He puts a wall of preservation and protection around us. And thank you tonight for including that in our prayer. And then the third thing in verse 7. The Bible says that God surrounds me with songs of deliverance. And so in response in verse 8, God says, if you pray to me, if you come as a godly person and pray to me, not only will I be one in verse 7 who becomes your hiding place, who becomes your protection, who becomes the one that surrounds you, but in verse 8, God says, I will instruct you. And I will teach you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eyes. Perhaps that verse reminds you of Proverbs 22 and verse 6. God said in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he shall not depart from it. God says for those families who strive to be godly families. God says for those families, we say sometimes, you hear it said today, those families who pray together, stay together. That's not some magic cure, but there is a sense in which those families who strive to be godly, those families who trust in God and pray to God, God builds a wall around them and He says to them, I will instruct you through my word, and I will teach you the way that you should go. Train up a child in what way? In the way that he should go, the way that God has instructed us. How often do you pray for your family? How often do you pray for the families at Palm Beach Lakes? Tonight, I want you to think about your prayer list, and I hope you have a prayer list. A list of those people that you pray for, list of those situations that you're praying for, list of those requests that you have made unto God. I want you to make sure that you have four things on your prayer list, not just this week, but four things that if you want this church to be blessed, then if every one of us who is here tonight will start praying for these four things, this church will be blessed because our families will be blessed. First thing that we need to pray tonight is that the Lord will bless our marriages. Get your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 24. Look in Genesis chapter 24, and we'll look at a couple verses in chapter 25. Those of you who are married, how often do you pray for your marriage? How often do you pray for your spouse? Genesis chapter 24. Abraham took his servant. He took his servant in those first four verses and he said, I have the most important job for you. I want you to go and I want you to find a wife for my son Isaac. And so in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 4, Abraham tells this servant that he is to go and to take a wife from his own family, from his own country. And so in verse 10, the servant, Genesis 24 and verse 10, the servant took 10 of his master's camels and he departed. And when he came to his master's home country, with all of his master's good in his hands, he went to Mesopotamia. He got there, and this is interesting in verse 11, he made his camels kneel down beside the well outside the city. Now, obviously, he was making those camels kneel down outside the city by the well because they needed something to drink. Because they had had a long journey and it was evening time, but I find it interesting that in verse 11, he made the camels kneel down, and in verse 12, he starts praying. As if he was saying to the camels, all right, it's time to pray. Everybody get down on your knees. Don't think that's what he was doing, but if you ever pictured a camel on his knees praying, here you got it in Genesis chapter 24. Camels on their knees, and I have no doubt this servant got on his knees. And in verse 12, he prays to God and he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, look at what he says. Please, God, please give me success this day. When was the last time in your marriage that you said, God, please give us success this day in our marriage? Show kindness to my master Abraham. Verse 13, behold, here I stand by the well of water and the daughters are coming out. Lord, please let me know, show me which one of these women should be the wife for my master's son. And so Rebekah came out in verse 15. And the Bible says that the servant began to watch her and he met her in verse 17. And he says, please give me a little drink from your pitcher. And so when she had finished giving him a drink in verse 19, she said, I will also draw waters for your camels. And so she went and drew water for them. Verse 21, the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know, has the Lord answered my prayer? Remained silent so as to know if the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Sometimes after we pray, we need to step back and watch the Lord answer our prayer. And when the servant realized that this woman was an answer to his prayers, verse 26, the man bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. He had prayed and he said, God, please give me success. When he had success, he went back to God and he said, God, thank you for answering my prayer. And he said in verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward his master. And as for me being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Remember what Psalm 32 said? Psalm 32 said the godly pray. And when the godly pray, God puts a wall of protection around them. And God says, when you pray, I will teach you and I will show you the way that you should go. And the master, the servant of the master Abraham just said, God answered my prayer. God showed me. He led me here. He helped me to get here. When was the last time you prayed, God, please help me in my marriage? When was the last time you prayed, God, please help me as a husband? God, please help me as a wife. Look in chapter 25. When Isaac was 40 years old, in Genesis chapter 25. Verse 20, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, his wife. Look in verse 21. Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife. When was the last time you got down on your knees and prayed for your wife? Got down on your knees and pleaded to God for your husband. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I'm looking at some of you who are not married. And you say, this has no application to me. Brethren, I beg of you to add to your prayer list the marriages of this congregation. I beg of you to pray for every husband and every wife that is in this congregation. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Are there marriages in this congregation that are good and prospering? May we thank God for them. Are there marriages in this congregation that are hurting, that are struggling? May we go to God on behalf of every one of them and to plead as these men did that God would bless our homes. Dan Fuller, one of our elders. Dan is going to come at this time, and he's going to lead all of us in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the marriages of this church.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you're the creator of all things. And we know that marriage did not come from the mind of man, but marriage came from the mind of God. You designed it. You follow it through. You nourish it. There's some that have taken marriage and degraded it. There's some that have struggles and wear the Christian name, but yet treat marriage as if it was second place or third place in their life. We pray, Lord, for each husband and each wife at Palm Beach Lakes. We pray, Lord, that you give them strength and guidance. We pray, Lord, that each one will come to your word, read about marriage and love, and follow through the design that you created long ago. We pray, Lord, for those marriages that are strong here at Palm Beach Lakes, that they can continue to grow, that they can be good examples for all others to see here in this congregation and throughout the community, that people from all over can see the marriage that you designed, that you created. We know there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, but we know that there can be a successful marriage because you created it. and you don't create junk. We thank you for this lectureship that's coming up. If there's any doubt in the minds of those present here or elsewhere about coming, we pray, Lord, that you can change them, change their direction, that they will attend this lectureship. We ask to please be with the speakers, that when they talk about marriage, they will hold up the Bible, hold up your word, and that we will listen and put those words in our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Look in Judges chapter 13. Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 13. This is an incredible story over in this chapter. As we think about our families at Palm Beach Lakes, we need to be praying not only that God would bless our marriages, but that God would bless our parents in this church. In Judges chapter 13, the Bible says, beginning in verse 2, that there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, or the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and she had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said to her, "Indeed now, verse 3, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." It's going to be a special son. "Now therefore, please, be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite committed unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. And I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" What was Manoah's response? His wife had been barren. He never had a child before. You know, some of the greatest experts in parenting are those who have never had a child of their own. You ever notice that? Those who know how to parent the best are ones who have never been a parent. You listen to some you listen to some young preachers when they go to a congregation, and boy, they preach really hard about parenting, and they preach really straight down the line on parenting. Then they have their own kids and they stop preaching on parenting, because they realized they didn't know as much as they thought they knew. Here's a man, he'd never been a parent. He learns that it looks like he's going to be a father. What was the first thing he did? He prayed to the Lord in verse 8. And he said, "Oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again." Why? Look at the end of verse 8. Why? What do you want from God? You're going to be a parent. What do you want? "That he may teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Does God have anything to teach us about how to be a parent? Boy, you can listen to Dr. Spock. You can listen to Dr. Phil. You can listen to Dr. whoever you want. But the great physician has a clue or two about how to raise children. God, will you please come and teach us what we need to do for this child? God answered his prayer, sent the man again. The woman was there when the man of God came. She ran and got her husband. He comes and speaks to him in verse 11. Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" What is this child going to do? Lord, what am I supposed to do with this child? Brethren, we need to be praying as parents. There was a parent over in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at that story in just a few minutes. But to take one verse sort of out of context, but to take the prayer from that verse and apply it to this. The woman in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 25, she prayed a three-word prayer that needs to be on the tongue of every parent every day of your life. When was the last time as a parent you prayed Matthew 15 and verse 25, where this mother goes to the Lord and in three words she says, "Lord, help me." Folks, we're not going to be able to do it on our own. We looked this morning about all that Satan is doing to destroy our homes. If we think that we by ourselves can handle it, we can't. We need to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, here I am a father. Help me to be a father like you are. Lord, here I am a mother. Help me to be the mother that Mary was to Jesus." Some of you here are single moms. I don't have a clue how you do it, but God bless you. Go to God and say to Him, "Lord, I need your help." Go to Him like Manoah and say, "Lord, please, what do I need to do for this child?" Because Psalm 127 says in verse 3, that child does not belong to you. That child is a heritage from the Lord. God has placed in parents' hands the stewardship of a child that does not belong unto them but belongs unto God. And as parents, our responsibility is to take that arrow and aim it right back at God. "Lord, please help me to do that." Parents, how many times a day do you need to pray, "God, please help me"? Fathers, how many times a day do you need to pray, "God, please help me"? There are some of you in here who are not parents, and you say, "This doesn't apply to me." There are some of you in here that the thought of being a parent scares you to death. Can you imagine the day when Bobo Lupo has children? We need prayer. There are some of you in here whose children are long time grown, and I hope you still pray for them. But brethren, may I beg of you, on your daily prayer list, to pray for the moms and the dads in this church. Jerry Pittman is going to come and to lead us in prayer on behalf of the parents of this congregation.
Will you bow with me in prayer? Holy Father, it is a privilege and an honor to come before your throne of grace at this time, knowing that you are the one and only true and living God. Father, when we think of the fact that you created us, you made us in your image, you gave us your earth for us to grow up on, to raise our families on, how small are we in comparison? And even thinking further, Father, how small are we when we consider the galaxy where our Mother Earth lives? How immense it is in comparison to us, and yet you made it all. You even made the universe, Father, that contains all in its completely infinite structure. And yet you know us each one by name. You know each one of us so completely that you know the count of the number of hairs on our head. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much for giving us your Son that we can be forgiven through him. We pray, Father, now for the parents of this congregation. We pray, Father, that you would surround our children with your guardian angels, that they might be able to deflect all the fiery darts that the evil one will try to penetrate towards them. And also, as parents, we pray that you would do the same for us. For we know, Father, that we are all weak and we at times stumble. And we just pray, Father, that when we do, we'll fall down on our knees and beg your forgiveness. Help us, Father, as parents, to be godly examples to our children. We pray, Father, that we can raise them up in homes that will have their mother and father together, and that they will be able to be raised in such a way that they can become young Christian men and women, and maybe someday to be able to even be leaders within our congregation here at Palm Beach Lakes or within your church, wherever it may be. Father, there are those of us who are also older children, and we have aged parents. And we pray that we might be able to honor those parents that did raise us and dedicate their lives to bringing us up the best that they could. May we comfort them. May we make them proud of us. And may we be able to do the things, Father, that would make our entire family a Christian family that would one day be in heaven together when Jesus comes to take us all. Father, be with those, be with those who need comforting over the loss of their parents. There are those of us, Father, who have lost our parents in years past. It's a tremendous loss in any child's life to lose their parents, and we just pray that you would help us to overcome that grief and continue on in our lives as we raise our own families. Father, we have this lectureship coming up later this week, and we pray, Father, that as we go into the lectureship, that we might be able to learn how to become better parents and better children for our families. We just pray, Father, that we may have the wisdom that only comes from you. We pray that you would give us the wisdom to raise our families and children in the way that you have written in your word, knowing that as we've studied this day, that a house that is not made of the Lord cannot stand, and the men that try to build it in vain. Father, bless us and help us as we raise our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Not only do we need to be praying for our marriages, and I beg of you to do that, pray for our parents that are a part of this congregation, but we do need to pray for our children. 1 Samuel chapter 1, there was another woman who was barren. We've already read about three of them. And here was Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 who went, and in verse 10, when she was at the tabernacle at the house of the Lord, the tent of the Lord, verse 10 says that she prayed to the Lord and she wept in anguish. Not only did she pray to God in verse 10, she made a vow to God in verse 11. She made a commitment to God. And she said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child," here's the vow, "then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." The end of verse 15 not only says that she had been praying to the Lord That's verse 10. Verse 15 says, not only has she made a vow to the Lord, that's verse 11. The end of verse 15 says she had been pouring her heart out to God. She was praying for a son. And in verse 20, it came to pass that she conceived, she bore a son, she named him Samuel, because the name meant asked of the Lord. And in verse 27, it says, this child, she says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, here's the vow that she remained good to. I have also lent him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. Parents, when was the last time you prayed to the Lord for your children? How often do you do that? Moms and dads, does it happen every day? Not in some cursory or passing way, but in a determined time, in a determined way that you pray to God for your children. Parents, how often do you make a vow to God? I know some parents who have done it. God, if you will just get me through this time, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. God, if you'll just give me the strength not to kill him, I'll make sure that I give him back to you alive and not dead. Parents, when was the last time you poured your heart out to God for your children? They're a heritage from the Lord. God has given them to us. When was the last time you talked to their heavenly Father about your child? I don't know how many of you have read James Dobson's book on the strong-willed child. I don't know how many of you have had a strong-willed child. I don't know how many of you will have, Bobo, a strong-willed child. When was the last time, whether your child is strong-willed or weak-willed, that you poured your heart out to God? With that phrase that the woman in Matthew 15 was praying, because she came to the Lord, her son was in need of his care. And in that context, she says, Lord, help me. But if you back up about three verses from there, she wasn't just praying for herself. She had come to the Lord and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. In chapter 17, another mother came to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my child. When was the last time you prayed, God, have mercy on my children? Gene Puckett is going to come and lead us in a prayer on behalf of our children. And I would beg of all of you, whether you have children or whether you don't, whether you have young children or grown children, that you add to your daily prayer list not only your children, but brethren, I beg of you to pray for every child in this church.
Let us bow together. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this evening. We come before you together with one voice, with one heart, with one petition about our children. God, we pray that this lectureship may benefit our children through the many teachers that they're going to have during the week. We pray that this lectureship may benefit them through the knowledge that their parents will gain. We pray, Lord God, that our children have mindset on doing your will. listening to what is being taught and finding ways to implement your word into their lives. We pray, Lord God, that the parents of our young children will listen to what is being taught this week and that they will find ways to implement that into teaching their children. God, we pray that our parents recognize that every moment of their child's life is a teaching moment. We pray, Lord God, that our parents will learn to trust your word in regards to raising their children. We pray that one day they may understand that if they would train them up in the way that they should go, they will not depart from it. We pray that both parent and child will learn that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And the most difficult one of all, Lord God, we pray that someday they may understand that if they beat them with a rod, they will not die. God, our children are the most precious part of this congregation than any congregation. And we understand, Lord God, that it is through your word that they should be built up. Help us, Lord God, to trust that you know what you're talking about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One more item. Look in Luke chapter 22. Not everyone in this congregation is married. Not everyone in this congregation is a parent. Everyone in this congregation is a child of someone. Some of us are more childish than others. But what we do need to be praying for, in addition to all of these, is that we need to be praying for each other. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your faults to one another and pray." Pray. Not only for marriages and parents and children, but pray for one another. How often on your daily prayer list, how often do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ at Palm Beach Lakes? You can do it in a general way and pray for them as a whole. Or you can take the church directory and pray for them by name. When was the last time that you spent time praying for one another? I like Luke chapter 22 at what Jesus says to Peter in verse 31, where he says, Luke 22 and verse 31, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." Can you imagine Jesus saying to you, "I've been praying for you"? Can you imagine Jesus saying to you, "I've been talking to the Father for you"? Not talking to the Father about you, not talking to the Father about the bad things you've done. "I've been praying for you." We've said several times in this place that if you want to offer an encouraging word to a brother or sister in Christ, then put your arm around them and say, "I am praying for you." Can you picture Jesus with his arm around Peter, around the very one who was going to deny him three times, and say to him, "I'm praying for your faith"? Brethren, we're not going to make it on our own. We're not going to have successful families on our own. We're not going to make it to heaven on our own. We need to go to God and beg of Him to bless us as a church. Let's bow and pray together one more time. Our Holy Father, you have been abundantly good to us. And in the words that Jacob prayed to you when he was getting ready to meet his brother Esau, "Father, we are not worthy of the mercies that you have shown upon us." Father, we thank you for Palm Beach Lakes. We thank you for what it means to us and what it means to our families. We thank you that it is a haven for us to come and to have times where we fellowship, times where we study, times where we worship, times where we encourage. And Father, we pray that we will never take any of these opportunities for granted. Father, tonight we pray not only for our husbands and wives and our moms and dads and our sons and daughters, but Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you for each one who is here tonight, their determination and their faith, even on Sunday nights, even in the midst of bad weather, to want to be together with you. God bless each one who is here tonight and build our faith. Father, for those brothers and sisters whose faith is not what it ought to be, Father, we pray two things. We pray that their faith might be increased. We pray that they will put their trust in you and put you first in their life, and that the church may become a vital part at the very center of their life. But Father, secondly, we pray that we will not be mere bystanders, but that we will go, that we will encourage, strengthen, that we will teach, that we will help them in the increase in their faith. God, we pray that in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, that we as your children would shine as lights, that others may know that we belong to you. And Father, we pray that although we are not worthy, that if we have lived faithfully unto you, that you will give each of us together a home with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was one verse that I thought about putting on various ones of these categories, but I could not decide where to put it. So I'll let you decide. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus says to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I don't know if that fits in your marriage, if that fits in your parenting. I don't know if that fits in your children or if that fits in your brethren. Maybe all four, I don't know. But God says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Hopefully that doesn't hit too close to home, but may God help us to add these four categories to our daily prayer list. Are you one of God's children? You know, when we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Can you pray that? You can only pray that if He is your Father in heaven. You can only pray that if you are His child. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 and 27 says we become His child by faith when we are baptized into Christ. Have you done that? Through faith, turning away from sin, have you been baptized into Christ to put on Christ to become a child of God? If you haven't done that, why don't you do that tonight? We're going to stand in just a moment and sing for your encouragement. I believe the song that's been chosen says, "It's only a step." Why don't you take that step tonight? Come and give your life and your heart to Jesus. You'll never regret it for a moment. If as one of His children, you have wandered away, perhaps have not been living faithfully, or you just need your brothers and sisters to encourage you, if we can help you tonight, please come as together we stand and sing.